Wow. You guys hear me okay? It's such a privilege to be a part of this family. This is church, friends. This is family. And God places us here to do exactly as Christy has shared, that he would gather us, that he would bring healing to us, that he would train us and equip us, and then send us to be purposeful and to have impact, whether it's in our city or in our nation. Christy, we love you, and we send you as our best. Friends, I want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for joining us. It's an incredible privilege to be a part of this community, and I'm going to minister here this morning. About this time 9 years ago, I was sitting in a worship time in another country in Brazil, which is where I met my wonderful wife. And at the time back home, I had been leading a home group. I was at the age of 20, leading a home group on my own. So young people, you're not overlooked. God can use you even as young men, and he used me. And at the age of 20, I was sort of leading things here, and you know, young, when we're young, we kind of get distracted with many things. And I was sort of doing this back home, and I would say a good description was I was probably doing it half-heartedly. And God took me to Brazil to a training time similar to what Mark and I will be heading to in Denver and where Mike is right now. And I remember specifically God spoke to me, and God does speak to us. And we were in the middle of the worship service, and someone had entrusted me with the keys of the venue for the time over there. And they'd asked me to unlock and lock up and just make sure everything was in order. And here I am, a young man given responsibility. I've got the keys to this place in my pocket. Some of you may have heard me tell this story because it did radically change my life. I was playing with the keys in my pocket. And I remember kind of thinking in my head, I'm like, huh, I got the keys to this place. And I remember God coming and radically interrupting my thoughts. And as clear as day, the Lord said, you hold the keys to my kingdom. And what are you doing with them? And it just, I was ready to go home. It was about the first night, and I was done. I had heard God, and I knew what I needed to do. I needed to get my butt back to Canada and to not do things half-heartedly, but to do them purposefully with everything that God has given me. And that was a radical shift in the way I did things and in his kingdom. And just remember how important it is for us to be stewards of what God entrusts us with. And this morning I want to talk about faithful stewardship. There's many scriptures that reference this. And I'm going to pick up on one. It's an odd one that most of us would probably choose to overlook and not read. But friends, I want to encourage you that this is the word of God and that we need to look at it with eyes of faith. And friends, we come to Jesus, and he brings us into his incredible kingdom. And it's from that side of the cross, after Jesus has completed our finished work, that we need to look at scriptures like this. And I want to read this morning from Luke 12, verse 42 to 48. It says this, in the Amplified Version, it says, "And the Lord said, who then is the faithful steward, the wise man, whom his master will set over those in his household service, to supply them with their allowance of food at the appointed time. Blessed, happy, and to be envied is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he arrives. Truly, I say to you, he will set him in charge over all his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is late in coming,' and begins to strike the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and get drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour of which he does not know, and will punish him and cut him off and assign him a lot with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act as he would wish him to act, shall be beaten with many lashes. But he who did not know and did things worthy of a beating shall be beaten with few lashes. For everyone to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And of him to whom men entrust much, they will require and demand all the more." Friends, stewardship's important. The definition of a steward is a person employed to manage or oversee the affairs of someone, to look after someone else's things and to take care and attention of them. I want to answer two questions for us. Who is a steward? And then what are we stewarding? So friends, we are all stewards, every one of us. The word steward, if we look at it, it's a royal position. Another term is the Lord's high steward. You see, we've been entrusted with many things to a greater or lesser degree, each one of us. The scripture says that we are a royal priesthood. I want to read that scripture. It's in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own, purchased, special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues of perfections of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Wow. Friends, you and I, we are all this. We are all priests. Some of us may function in different capacities in the body of Christ. Maybe some of us are deacons. Maybe some of us are elders. But friends, we are all priests. We all have a role to play, and we are all to steward the things that God has given us. When we come to Christ, he sets us free from sin and death, and he brings us into his kingdom, and he gives us purpose. And our purpose is to serve his purpose with all that we have and with all that he has entrusted us with. You see, it says here in 2 Peter that we are a special people. Friends, you and I are special. We are created in the very image of God. We are created to reflect him. That's amazing. But you see, in his kingdom, we are royalty. But I want to say this morning, we are not king. There is only one king, friends. We are not king. And some of us have a worldly perspective because that's what we've known prior to coming into the kingdom. And this morning, I want us to look at this through what Christ has done on the cross. And let me show you how things do work in his kingdom. Friends, this morning, this scripture and what I'm going to preach is to bring freedom so that we can run into all that God has for us. And I promise we will get there, okay? So what are we stewarding? John 3:27, I'm just going to read it here. It says, John the Baptist's response to Jesus baptizing. He says this, he says, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven." Everything that we are and everything that we have has been entrusted to us that we may steward well what God has given us. You see, friends, God is looking for faithful stewards. Stewards that are full of faith, that would take God at his word, and that would apply it to the way we conduct ourselves. That we would apply it to the things that God has entrusted us with. I want to talk about those things. I want to pick up on 5 of them. There's many. Friends, these are some of the things that God has entrusted to you and I. The first and most important one this morning, I want to say, is revelation. Revelation comes from a relationship with Jesus. God isn't about formulas, and he isn't about religion. He's about relationship. That's the purpose of Christ, was to restore us to right relationship with God. And that is what he's done. In this scripture that we read in Luke, you can see in verse 47 and 48 in it, it says that, and references it, the unfaithful steward that knew his master's will but didn't heed it would be punished more severely. You can see that revelation here is important. Jesus spoke in parables to teach us. Revelation is important. Why is it so important? You see, Paul writes in the scriptures in Ephesians, and we've camped and spent a ton of time here, so you should know the scripture. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, Paul writes and he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. You see, friends, it's in knowing him, it's in knowing his ways and his purposes that we are empowered. God wants to reveal not only who he is and his ways, but our identity and where we stand. Matt did an incredible job last Sunday of just explaining just this thing of the year of Jubilee and the favor that you and I walk in and all that we have available to us in Christ. I want to encourage you, if you haven't heard that message, please go listen to it again. And if you forgot it, absolutely go listen to it again. God has given us so much. There is so much in store for you and I. You see, Jesus said this. He says that we will know the truth. He wants us to abide in his word, that we would know the truth. I'm reading from John 8. And it says that the truth will set us free. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of Jesus, that we would understand who he is and what he's done for us, empowers us. He wants us to know and have this revelation. You see, in relationship with him, he reveals our identity. He wants us to pursue our original design. He wants us to walk in all that he's created us to be. He wants us to dream. He wants us to hope. Friends, if there's one place you can put your hope, it's in the Lord. If there's one place that you can dream and know your dreams can come through in God, it's in him. It's in his purposes. Friends, it's all in this word, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. You want to know who you are, what you're called to be. It's right here, friends. It's right here. This word is living and active. It's alive. It will bring life to you. We got to be stewards of his word and get into his word. Amen? A friend of mine, Mr. Jonathan Pooley, we were chatting and he going back and forth and we came to this, that we stand in the gap between our reality and our revelation. And as we walk in faith, it brings our revelation to life, empowering us to change our reality and walk in our dreams and destiny. I'm going to read it again. We stand in the gap between our reality and our revelation. And as we walk in faith, remember, faithful, as we walk in faith, it brings our revelation to life, empowering us to change our reality and walk in our dreams and destiny. Wow, isn't God good? He not only gives us an incredible call, he empowers us to do it. God has given us access to incredible resources in his kingdom. Everything that we need for life and godliness. So the first one's revelation. The next one's works. We have things to do. But let's remember, friends, that this comes after relationship. We already stand in favor with God. And it's from that place, it's from revelation that we then do. And we're not here to earn God's favor, we have God's favor. We stand in it right now, today, you and I stand in the favor of the Lord. And he's called us to do good works. There's a few places in the scripture that references this. And in John 6, 29, the disciples came to Jesus and they were talking to him and he said, well, what's the works of a Christian? What should we do? I think it's a question every one of us has. And I love this. And this is the most important work. So friends, let's get this one right. John 6, 29 says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who he sent. In Jesus. I'm paraphrasing that. I want you to go and read that scripture, John 6, 29. Friends, that we would believe in Jesus because it's the revelation of who he is, that out of that, the fruit in our lives is the doing. James 2, 26 says that faith without works is dead. It's lifeless. You see, revelation without a response isn't revelation. It's just information, friends. Revelation isn't revelation until we start walking in it. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 4:12, the whole purpose of this, friends, is this, that we would be here to prepare God's people for works of service. God wants us to prepare us. First it's healing, then it's training. He wants to prepare us to do these things well. Remember, he's given us everything that we need. Whether it's a small thing like giving a cup of water to somebody or a complex thing, everything that we do, God has called us to be faithful and steward, whatever the work is. The next thing I want to reference that God's called us to steward is our talents, gifts, and abilities. Friends, we're all created uniquely. I said this so many times. If you look at your hand, you've got fingerprints. No one else has the same ones. No one else is the same as you. That needs to be ingrained in us. We need to realize that we are a treasure, that we are valued, that we are special. And the way we look at others is exactly the same. That they are valued, that they are a treasure, that they are special. We are created uniquely. God has given us many gifts. Maybe it's stewardship, maybe it's administration, maybe it's evangelism, leadership, maybe it's singing, maybe it's playing guitar. Not one of us is created the same, but we all have gifts. If you don't know about these things and you have a pen, write these scriptures down. For the sake of time, we're not going to look at them. But you can look at Ephesians 4:11-13. You can read 1 Corinthians 12, and then look at Romans 12. These are three places to define some of the things that God has given us. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Guys, all of the things that God has given us, every one of them, is to be used for his purposes in his kingdom. The next thing I want to talk about is what most people think about when we talk about stewardship. It's finances. It's possessions. It's the earthly stuff. You know the stuff where moth and rust destroys? That stuff. Most of these things, actually, friends, is God's testing ground to search the condition of our heart, to see where our revelation lies. God has called us to manage, to steward with integrity the things he entrusts us with. And I think sometimes we forget that that includes possessions and finances. In Deuteronomy, God reminds us that it's he who gives us the ability to create wealth. He reminds us that he's entrusted us with these things, that we would have an open hand and allow God to work through our lives in these areas. You see, friends, in Luke 16:11, it says this, that if we've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who can trust you with true riches? Friends, true riches aren't possessions. They're people. It's the only thing that has eternal value. And I think sometimes, and I know I've been there, and this word is as much for me as it is for you and I today, sometimes we value our possessions and our finances above people. Maybe it's our business, maybe it's the things that we have. Maybe our eyes have wandered from the blesser, which is God, who has given us everything, to the blessing, and we've been captivated by this blessing and the wonderful things that God's blessed us with. Friends, may our eyes move back to the one that is given. May our eyes move back to him, because all that he has entrusted us with is his. It brings me into this next point, and it talks about relationships and people. So what are we stewarding? The last point, probably the most important, Revelations number one, and the next thing that comes right in line here is relationships and people. All that God has entrusted us with is to be invested in people. That's what God did. He sent Jesus for you and I. He values people above all else. He values people. He leaves the many to find the one. He seeks out the lonely and places them in family. God values people. He wants us to invest in others. He wants us to sow what we have into their lives that we might reap a harvest for his kingdom, for his purposes, that we could take the city by storm because we value people. You see, he's entrusted us many different people, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your friends, whether it's your family, whether it's your coworker. Friends, whether it's your other believers. Friends, God has entrusted us with these relationships. And in the very same way, God wants us to steward those. Friends, if you want a great marriage, steward it well. Invest time. If you want a great friendship, be a great friend. Steward it well. If you don't have friends, go find somebody and be their friend. If you want a great work environment, sow into the lives of your people. Seek them out. Value them. Appreciate them. Because this is what Christ has called us to do, to impact people, to steward these things, to value them. You see, David was first a good steward and shepherd of sheep. But God then entrusted him with people, and he did it with integrity of heart and skill of hand. God wants us to steward relationships as if they aren't ours, as if they've been entrusted to us. You see, friends, there's two things in this scripture that stand out in Luke. The first one is glaring at us in the face, and it sobers us up right away, and we look at it and go, oh my gosh, I have to give an account. Friends, we do. We give an account for the things that we steward. And I want to look at Luke 12, and I want to touch on that, and I want to end on one other point. And we're not ending on this one I'm talking about now, but we will give an account for our stewardship. Paul shares this in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2, and he says this: "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." God is looking for us to be faithful, friends. In Revelations 2, you can read, and it says that the books will be opened. And it says that we will give an exacting account for our stewardship, for the things that God has entrusted us with. You see, friends, I think sometimes we're deceived. Sometimes we don't want to think that we have to give an account for the things that God has entrusted us with. Maybe the deception is this. Maybe it's, this is my money. This is my job. This is my business. These are my people. I can do what I want. I can do as I please. Friends, the Word of God tells us something different, and this is truth. You see, in the parable, it talks about the steward that gets distracted, and he sees that his master is a long time in coming. So he starts to get drunk. He starts to mistreat that which he's been entrusted with. You see, friends, maybe we at times get drunk with our own self-importance. Maybe we get infatuated with the favor and the blessing that we walk in, or the material things. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's overindulgences. Friends, God hasn't called us to squander what God has entrusted us with. He's called us to steward it well. I want to say this morning that this should be liberating for us. This is to bring freedom to us. And I'm going to show you why. You see, in God's mercy and grace for us, when we aren't stewarding things well, he shuts the taps off for us, hey? He turns the taps off. Because he doesn't want us to stand before him, fumbling because we can't give an account for the things he's entrusted us with. He wants us to come in to the kingdom of heaven where he can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful steward." But here on earth, while we're right here, God says that if we are faithful with little, he will give us much. If we are faithful with small things, he will entrust us with big things. there's another scripture that talks about stewardship, and it talks about talents and the things that God has entrusted us with. And it says the one parable talks about us being faithful with talents, and this good steward, the faithful servant with the 10, it says that he's faithful with 10 and he entrusts with 10 cities. So if you think in the context of small and great things, if you're faithful with a little thing, a talent, God entrusted him with cities in response. That is the bigness and the greatness of our God. And in this scripture, God comes not to bring conviction to, or not to bring condemnation to us, friends. He comes to bring conviction. The purpose of conviction for you and I is really just to align us with the purposes of God. Because God in heaven wants to entrust you and I with big things. And remember that revelation empowers us. God wants to empower you and I. He wants us to walk in the incredible things that God has for us. We started our service this morning with some scriptures. Mark read one and Felicity read one of all the incredible things that God has for us, friends, that are right here at our fingertips. He's given us everything that we need, and he empowers us to do this well. You see, when I read this scripture, the thing that I want us to end on, the thing that I want us to focus on is, yes, we need to be stewards and to be faithful. And yes, we give an account. But let's look at this. At the end, it says, blessed and happy to be envied is that servant who his master finds so doing when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will set him in charge over all his possessions. All his possessions. Man, I look at this, friends, and all I can see is this God in heaven that has endless favor, endless resource for you and I. And he wants to give it. He's itching to give it to you and I. What father doesn't want to give a good gift to his son? But he wants us to steward it well. He wants us to be entrusted with people. We have prophetic words over us as a church that we would be a place known for his presence. Friends, God wants us to host his presence well, that we would steward the people he entrusts us with. If we can't steward them well, why would he give us more? He wants our people to be cared for, to be looked after, that they would be gathered, healed, trained, and sent with purpose to bring impact in this city and in the nations. This is the call that God has for you and I. And I know I'm passionate this morning, friends. And I'm sorry I'm not making you laugh as I have in the past. But friends, God is good. And we need to look to him as this incredible father that gives good gifts. Friends, he is king, not us. But he is a good king. He is a righteous king. And he's looking for us where he can pour out blessing and favor. He's looking for faithful stewards. You see, friends, our purpose is to serve his purpose with all that he has entrusted with us. He wants to use you right now with what you have in your hand right now. Sometimes, friends, I'll be honest, I get frustrated because I hear people wanting God to do these incredible things for them. And they dream and they pray, but they don't walk in faith towards them. Friends, be encouraged. Take whatever you have right now and start walking. Be faithful with little. Remember, faithful stewardship is walking now with what God has placed in your hand. Whether it's the basic of revelation, the simplest truths, or maybe you're a scholar in the word, wherever you fall in that, take the revelations that you do have and pursue relationship. Steward well what God has for you. I want to read a scripture in Proverbs 3:6, and it says this, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I want to invite the worship team to come up, if you would. Friends, I think that this is a word that you and I must respond to. that we need to respond to. Our Father in heaven is looking for us to respond to him. I spent some time here last night and prophetically just saw a picture of people sitting and saying, "Yes, Lord, here am I," and responding all over this place. And I want to say that this morning, friends, that God is looking to us that we would respond. If you want to be found a faithful steward, if you want to be entrusted with big things, if you want to submit your ways and your gifts and your finances and your relationships to the Lord, if that is you this morning, I want to ask that you would stand in response to this. And I want to pray for us. And then I want to worship. Friends, there's times in our lives when we can put a stake in the ground and we can claim it. And we don't get it perfect. And God is so gracious. He is so merciful. He is so loving. These characteristics of our God, friends, do not change. This is our God. Friends, I want to pray for us this morning. And I want to tell you this morning that I am standing just as you are standing. Lord, God, I thank you for all that you've entrusted us with. God, I thank you that you have taken us out of darkness. You've taken us into light. God, that we stand holy and righteous and blameless before you. Father, I thank you that you are good. You are so good. And right now, Father, in response to the revelation of your goodness, in response to the revelation of your mercy and grace, God, we say, here we are. Use us, Lord. May we be faithful in your kingdom. May we be faithful to honor you with all you've entrusted us with. God, we open our hands and we say, come and move, Lord. Come and have your way. God, I thank you that your promises are true. And we can say amen in response to them. Lord, that when we entrust you with our ways, God, that you are faithful and that you make them straight. That you are our victorious one and go out before us. That you pave a way for us. And Lord, we honor you and we open our hands this morning and we say, come and have your way in Jesus' name.
I was sitting there and this morning and just said, God, if you want me to share this, I need to hear something about surrender. As I was listening to worship music this morning, Jesus Culture, and maybe I should just backtrack a little bit. I'm one of those boring Christians who grew up in a Christian home. There's no great revelation that brought me to Christ. I just grew up in a Christian home. But I always had a tough time to just give it all to God. And even in the last few years, because we've been blessed with so much, especially in the last 10 years, and I want to surrender it all, but then I think, God, but I have such an amazing job. And I want to surrender it all, God, but this is such an amazing home. And I want to surrender it all, God, but this is such an amazing community. I don't want to go anywhere else. And this morning, as I was listening to that music, for the first time in 52 years, I could raise my hands and say, God, I surrender all. Whatever, wherever. Praise you, God.
One of the things I love about a transformed life is you can't argue with that. Friends, we're going to just go out in a time of worship. Just aware of the time as well. If you need to go, God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. But we're going to take a moment just to respond to what Paul has encouraged us with this morning. I think one scripture that really caught my attention was was 1 Peter 4, verse 10 that Paul read. It says that we are to use whatever gift we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. One of the things that I've really wrestled over the years to get my head around is that the work that I am to do as a believer is to enter the rest of God. So I'm to work to rest. And the more I contemplate the enormity of that and the significance of that, is understanding that when I read in some parts of Scripture, it says that my works are like filthy rags. In other parts, I read that faith without works is dead. I'm going, so which one is it? I don't get this. Faith without works is dead, or my works are as filthy rags? And if we truly understand and rightly divide the Word of God and understanding the position in which we stand, no longer standing over here, hankering after the favor of God, but understanding that through the cross, I now stand in a position over here in an incredible place of freedom, that the work that I am to do is to strive for His rest, to strive for an understanding that God, who was faithful and is faithful, has provided me an amazing place of spaciousness, of rest, of an abundance. And so my zeal for God shouldn't be for God's blessing on my life. It's as a response to His blessing upon me. Just a great quote I read was this, is the zeal of God is fueled by the revelation of our righteousness by faith. I am righteous in the position I now stand. While the one exhausts, the other ignites. And so I would encourage you as we just worship here this morning, that let us not be zealous for God to earn something from Him, but in response to His goodness, in response to our righteousness and justification by faith in this position in which we now stand. As Paul has encouraged us and stirred within us this morning, that we now stand in such a great spacious place that our zeal for God is not one that should be exhausting to us, but one that is igniting to us and spurs us on. And to be faithful stewards of God's grace is to first understand what His grace looks like. That revelation that Paul was speaking of. And as we stand in a position of His favor, as we stand in a position of His grace, we say, thank you, Lord. And in response to that, we are ignited with zeal, the zeal of God, to work out what He has already given us for. And the faithful part of that is we need to be full of faith to do impossible things which He said we would do. And so, friends, as we worship Him right now, I pray that these truths start to A, sink in, but can we even start to administer and practice these things? I want to encourage you, if you are trusting God for impossible things this morning, come and stand up front here. And if you are wanting to step out and steward the impossible things that God has entrusted to you, come and stand here as well, and not only be commissioned, but lay your hands and stir up the gift within you and administer the gifts of God as we've been called in 1 Peter 4. Administer faithfully, full of faith, the gifts of God to one another. Amen. Let's worship. Come and stand up here either to receive or to be a blessing. Amen. God, we love you.